All right, so today we're talking about blood. So in Parshat Sav, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavav and Chav Zayin, the Pasuk says, V'chol dam lo sochlu, b'chol moshvo sechem, lo'o v'la b'hema, do not consume blood. Kol nevesh yotocha, kol dam, v'nichros ha'nevesh ahim me'ameha. And anyone who consumes blood, they get the punishment of kares. That's obviously, it's a very serious thing to consume blood. And we find this is not the first time that we find the prohibition of blood, of consuming blood. We already have it already in Bereishis Tes, Pasuk Dalet, Ach basar benafsho damo lo sochelu. So we already find that prohibition there. And the question is why? Why is blood forbidden? Why would you say blood's forbidden? What are your thoughts? Why is blood? What? He had damu anefesh, right? So he had damu anefesh. So this is Devarim Yud Beis Chav Gimel Chav Dal. I could always count on heaven and give me the next source. I know he didn't look at it, but I could always count on him because he knows it's called Torah Kula. So he says the Rak Chazak Levelti Achol Hadam Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. Right? So just by the way, if you're not talking, just mute yourself. Okay? Do me a favor, mute yourself. If you know how to do that, if you're not talking, mute yourself. It'll just be easier. And then when you want to say something, then unmute yourself. So the pasuk says that be careful to eat the blood because the blood is the nefesh, the soul. Velo sochal hanefesh im habasar, and you should not consume the soul with the flesh. Okay, and then in a little what other source? Just as in Vayikra Yud Zayin Yud Beis. So there, the Torah says, "Ish ish mi beis Yisrael mina ger gar besochem asher yochal kol dam." Anyone who eats any blood, v'nasati panai benefesh ocheles hasadam v'ichrati otam meker vama. Shem's going to place his countenance on that soul who eats the dam. Interesting, right? He says he's going to place his countenance in the nefesh who eats the dam, which is the nefesh, and he will give it kares. Ki nefesh abasar badam he, because right, the nefesh of the flesh is in the blood. Vani nesativ lachem al mizbech lechaper al nafsho sechem, and I've given to you it on the mizbech to atone for your souls. Ki nefesh hu benefesh yechaper. Okay, no marti v'nei Yisrael kol nefesh kem lo tochal dam. So what? Here it seems to give another reason, I guess, for not eating blood, maybe. Or let's put it this way. You want to say, Kia nefesh basar badamhu. Nefesh, what was the language? The language was, Kia damhu anefesh. So because the dam is a nefesh, therefore what? Therefore what? So what's the problem with it?
You get the characteristics of what you eat.
So you get the characteristics. So yeah, we're going to see the Rambam.
If you eat the blood of an animal, it will cause you to become
animalistic. Okay, so in other words, that somehow you take on the characteristic. That's a little bit. That's the Ramban. We're going to see the Ramban in a bit. The simple. Let's think about that. So the nefesh. If you consume someone's nefesh, that's a pretty mystical explanation there.
You are what you eat.
Yeah, no, I understand. Right, I understand. You are what you eat. Right. I would say on a more basic level, what might you argue? But okay. That's. Because you're according to the Pashat Pshat, if the dam is an nefesh, it's probably you probably shouldn't be doing what, on a very simple level.
Killing the animal.
I'm sorry.
I guess you shouldn't be killing the animal to begin with.
Well, is that
you shouldn't be killing the animal to begin with.
You should maybe. So I don't know about that. I think on a very simple level, you shouldn't be consuming the nefesh of the animal. I just want to be very precise. In other words, let me make my point, then you can comment. If the pasuk says, right, ki nefesh habasar bedamhu, and you can't have the dam, the blood, because that's where the nefesh is, so what we're actually saying is not necessarily that you can't kill the animal, it seems like you can't consume the nefesh. That's what it seems like. Evan, yeah, you want to say?
Yeah, on every korban, the blood goes. Some of the blood goes on the mizbeach, and since the animal comes as a korban instead of us, is it the nefesh of us is being sacrificed on the Mizbeach the same way?
So I think, well, I think, by the way, I think that you're giving another, and I think it's an important point, that, oh gosh, okay, you are giving, you know what, I just realized something. I'm going to try to call. I forgot to call Arthur. I'll talk when I'm calling. I can't. Hold on a second. I think Evan, I think you're giving a different reason. I think you're giving a different reason that we said, right? In other words, one reason is because you're not. It seems like you're consuming the soul, maybe. And the other reason is that somehow that blood is supposed to be what? Is supposed to go on the Mizbeach. Right? So I think there are two different reasons. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Arthur. You want to listen to the Parsha Shir?
Yes.
Okay, good. We got him on. Okay. So, right. So that's interesting, right? In other words, is the issue with consuming the blood is that it's somehow animalistic. In other words, what Herbie wanted to say, which we'll see in the Ramban soon, you are what you eat, that's what Baruch said, that would seem to indicate that there's something cruel about that. Something cruel about consuming the nefesh of the animal versus the idea that, no, the blood has a different function. The function of the blood is to, I guess, atone for your souls, to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, but of course, that only deals with the blood of the animals that are brought as sacrifices, right?
You have to put on the carbon the chaylev, and you can't eat that either. So there seems to be some connection between putting on the carbon, you can't eat it.
Right. In other words,
and you can't eat it either.
Right. In other words, what goes on the Mizbeach is that something that's forbidden to you? Because it's, right. In other words, is it something that's holy, you know, and there, because it's holy, it has this level of sort of this quasi-holy status, and therefore it's not fit for you, a mundane person, to have it. This goes to God and not to you. Right?
But yet you have the mincha on the Mizbeach, you have the yayin on the Mizbeach, and you are allowed to consume it.
Right. There are certain things, right? So the blood. Well, I would say, right, it's more than simply goes on Mizbeach. This serves as a kapara al nafsho secha. You know, the sprinkling. I'm sorry.
There must be more to it than that, because in Bereishit it's called the me'achecha.
Yeah.
So the blood there is what?
Well, I don't know about there. We're talking about the prohibition of consuming blood. I'm sorry?
The first time that dam is mentioned in the Chumash.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure if that has to do with the consuming blood, but I'm not sure. But here the blood serves as a kapara. I mean, I'm reading the Pashup Shah before we read some of the Mefarshim. He says that the nefesh of the basar is in the blood, and I gave it to you on the Mizbeach to serve to atone for your souls, because the dam is in the nefesh. So right, like as Evan pointed out, that somehow the animal serves, the nefesh of the animal, is killed instead of you. You should be brought on the Mizbeach. Instead, the animal is being brought. So the blood is for the animal, is like your nefesh, and serves as some sort of kapara, and it's not fit for you to do that. So that serves a greater purpose than I would say the wine or the flour. Let's try to read, we're going to try to read sort of four sources. We'll read the Rambam, the Ramban, the Abravanel, which sort of analyzes or says that he sort of takes a hybrid view of both the Rambam and the Ramban, and then we'll if we have the time we'll read Rav Kook's position. Okay, so the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim explains the following: Vidaki Hadam Haya Tamei. You can see the source, right? If those of you who don't have the phone, who have like a big computer or whatever, so I'll try to make it bigger. Yeah, I'll try to make it bigger. Hold on.
You can stretch it yourself and make it bigger on your phone.
Okay. I'm trying to look at people and also have the screen. So hold on. So it's pretty big here now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Rabbah and the Mor Nevuchim writes.
Rabbi, that's
too big.
Now we're too big.
Yeah, why don't you just leave it? Everyone can find the way.
Okay, we got it. Are we this
no,
good?
Still too big.
Still too big? Okay.
Perfect. Good? Baruch is very excited now.
Okay. Good? Okay.
Perfect.
The Rav of the Mor Devuchim says, V'daki ha-dam ha-ya tamim ma'od be'ene ha-tzava. Blood was very tame in the eyes of Sava. They were like some ancient, like, Arabian religion. And Ve'im Kol Zeh, this is like pre-Islamic, you know, religious group in the Arabic lands. Okay? But Ve'im Kol Zeh, hoyu, they were pagans. Hoyu ochli moso. They would still eat the blood. Mibnei shahoya, shahoyu choshvim shahu mazon hashedim. Because they believe that this was essentially this is food for the demons. This was demon food. Ushaachal also misha achlo kvar hishtatefim hashedim v'yavo v'yodiyuhu hasidos. And they believe that if you eat this, if you eat the blood, then you can join with the shedim, and they will come and they can tell you the future. And we, there's nothing that we would like more than to have demons tell us the future. That's what the people thought that the demons would do. And there were some people that the consumption of blood was very difficult. As much as they wanted to be with the demons and learn the future from the demons, they didn't really like to taste the blood. This is something that naturally is disgusting. So they would shech the animal, and they would keep the blood in a kli, or they would in some ditch. And they would eat meat around this blood. And they would imagine with this action, shashidim yochlu adam asher hu mazona behem yochlu abasar. So they'd have their, hold on a second, they'd have their food and the demons would have their food, right? They would eat their food and the demons would eat their food, right? They'd have their meat and the demons would have their blood near them. They'd have love and brotherhood and friendship with their local, their LOD, their local Orthodox demon. Because they ate on one table in one sitting. And the demons would come to them according to their understanding in a dream. And they would tell them the future. And they would assist them. This is what people thought in those days. And this is so famous, so publicized. This is what happened, and no, there would be no doubt. The masses did not doubt that this would happen. You'd be able, if you drink blood, you'd be able to hang out with the demons, or if you would eat meat next to some blood. That's why perhaps the Rambam thinks that the Torah says, what do? We cover the blood. We don't put it in Kalim. We cover the blood. Right? Uba Torah Shleba Yodah, and the Torah would come to its to those who know it, Lahasir Elo Chaloyim Anemonim the Asra Chilas Adam. So what does the Torah do? The Torah forbids the consumption of blood. Vasa Chizuk Bisuro Kamosha Asa Bavorazar Bishava. And they would strengthen this prohibition like they did with idolatry. Amar Yisbarach, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, V'dasati panai benefesh ho'achelos es adam. That's very strong language. Above, what does it say? He's referencing this Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, which says that God will v'dasati panai benefesh. That is very harsh language. This is a term of art. We only find it one other place. Where, says the Rambam? Kemoshkasu benosein mizara lamolech. When you give over your child to be burnt and to give over to Molech, the God, the Molech God. You sacrifice your child to Molech, v'nasatis panai ba'ishahu. So God is, so we have a very strong, pushback against this practice of consuming blood, and the Rambam assumes that this has to do with idolatry. Now, the Ramban disagrees for a very simple reason. So first of all, he says it's because this that because it the truth is a lot of this stuff is found, even though it's the first time we find in Parshas Tzav, a lot of these commentaries are in you know later on Vayikra Yudzayim. Here the Ramban writes that it's forbidden because it serves as a kapara, so you can't consume it because it serves as a kapara. And then he cites the Rambam, but what's his question? He says, listen, he says, Ve'elu devar miyushavim. He said, yeah, this reason of the Rambam makes sense of al ksuvim lo yoru ken, but the psukim don't seem to indicate this. Shehem yomru tami betama iser ki nefesh kol basar damo benafsho. That the soul of every flesh, you know, is the blood. Then the soul of the meat is in the blood. And he repeats it in Sefer Devarim. Rachazak leviltiach ol adam. Be careful not to eat the blood. Ki adam hu anefesh, etc., etc. And then he goes on to explain. It's fitting that we explain that the reason for this prohibition is ki Hashem barak kol nivra matachtonim letzarach adam, that God created all lower creatures for the purpose of man. Ki hu levado behem makiris boro, because only man recognizes his creator and no one else does, and therefore they are subservient to man. V'avo pikein lo itir lohem b'achila mitchila rachot tzemech lo balei anefesh. Initially, man was only allowed to eat the vegetables. Things that grow, or fruit and vegetables, things that grow in the ground.
Vegetation,
thank you. Not living creatures, right, that we find in Parshas Bereishis. Like Asher Yabamabul, She Nitzolo Bizchuso Shel Noach, Vehiku Beheb Karbad. Sorry. And then, when there was the flood, that we were saved with the merit of Lot, of Noach, and he brought a korban, and it was leratzon, it was pleasing. Hitil hamashchita. That this is an interesting take. There are different views on this, but at least the Ramban's take is that the animals became lower, a lower level, because they were saved in the merit of Noach. So therefore, they sort of owed Noach something. That's a topic unto itself. Why animals became permitted to Noach? This explanation suggests that animals owed man because they were saved in the zchus of Noah, and therefore he was allowed to eat them. Okay, but in any case, sorry. Okay, he cites the pasuk, v'hine hitir gufam, the second to last line, hitir gufam asher hu chay b'vor adam, only permitted their guf, their body, shi'en lahanaso l'tzarcho shel adam, that was for the benefit and the needs of man, v'shetiyah ha-nefesh shebahem l'kapara l'adam. The nefesh serves as a kapara for man, b'karvam l'fanav yisparach. So right, so there are two different aspects. The flesh, and maybe the skins, are for the benefit of man, and the soul of the animal is also serves as an atonement for man. Lo shi'achlu, he shouldn't eat it. Kein lebal nefesh yochal nefesh. A bal nefesh should not consume a nefesh. Kein nefashos kulan lakel. All the fashos go to God. Hine kenefesh adam kenefesh abehema lo hine umikra echad lahem kamavazek kamavazek ruacha lakol. So, bal nefesh, human, animal, they each have a nefesh. The nefesh only goes to God. Okay, the nefesh goes to God. We cannot consume the nefesh. And then he gets into the piece that you mentioned. You are what you eat. Mini yadu. Oh, kinechal yashuv begufa ochav hayul basar echad. That if something is consumed, then it comes part of the body. Vim yochal adam nefesh kol basar v'hu yischaber bedamo. V'hayul achonim belev tia ove v'gasus benefesh ha'adam. That if a person eats a nefesh of any living thing, it will join. The animal's blood will join to the person's blood, and then it will, it will become gasus, thick in the nefesh of the person. V'tashuv karov l'teva ha-nefesh ha-behemis asher b'nechal. And then it will be close, I guess, to the soul of the human nefesh will become more animalistic. It seems to me the Ramban is actually saying this scientifically. That's what it seems to me. I don't know. You know, then the question is, you know, to what extent is that true? But in any case, so that's why to me, I mean, you are what you eat is nice, and it might be mystically true, It might be scientifically true. I don't know. Not sure. But to me, I prefer, you know, the more simple reading of the Ramban, the way he simply reads the Psukim, is that the Nefesh goes to God. It doesn't go to man. Only the Basar goes to man. And that's the way the Ramban explains. Again, the Rambam is a nice explanation, because it makes sense that the Torah is a lot, very much anti-Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't, says the Ramban, it doesn't seem to be the case from the simple reading of the text. Now, the Abravanel tries to go between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Abravanel says, Nirali l'chalik ha-parashiosu mitzvoseh. Ki barishona, he wants initially, tziva, ishish in Beis Yisrael sheyishchat shoro kesev o'ez b'machner, or sheyishachay michutz ha-machner v'alpeschol mo'ed lo'vi la'akiv korba la'ashem. So initially, this is actually, again, Perek Yud Zayin, where it talks about where you bring what's called shchut echutz, where basically you slaughter an animal outside the Mikdash area. And there they talk about, if you read, what does it say? Dam yechashev, it's if you spill the blood, you bring a korban outside the Mikdash, right? And then it talks about vizavchu, right? It says dam shafach, And he's spilling blood, and there the Bravo writes, "Ena kavanah b'mitzvah hazos le'isur achilas adam." There it's not. There's no prohibition of eating blood. Kim le'isur shvichasu b'midbar makom shebnei adam yiskapsu svivo. He says that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't simply spill the blood where people are gathering. V'zachar miyad tama mitzvah hazos k'day sheyizrak hakodesh adam mizbeach. You have to sprinkle the blood of the mizbeach. Hashem v'lo yisher al adam ala aretz. It shouldn't be left on the ground. And if you just shecht it, slaughter an animal and spill the blood on the ground and people gather there, and that's a concern. He says that's similar to what the people did. They would spill the blood on the ground and they do their things with their shadim and then whatever. Zivchei l'seirim. He says mitei shahaya zetav mitzvah. He says that slaughtering an animal like a korban type that you slaughter and you spill the blood and you have these people gather around, so that's all idolatrous stuff. He says that's what the Rambam is talking about. In other words, the Rambam, when he's talking about idolatrous, that's when you're doing a ritual act. There he says the Rambam makes a lot of sense. But then he says, no, he finishes and he says that, a few lines down, avalachilas adam nesra mitam acher. This is about five lines from the bottom. But eating the blood, that is a different reason. That's because the Torah says mipas ha-nefesh, for the nefesh. And it's interesting, he says, the Ramban, he was machish tam avodos ha-se'irim, b'shtem mitzvot yachad. He says the Ramban doesn't mention the idolatrous reasons, and the Rambam doesn't mention the nefesh reason, and the Bravanel thinks that it depends. If we're talking about a korban, and maybe, you know, spilling the blood outside the mikdash, and maybe eating the blood there, that's like idolatrous stuff. If we're talking simply about non-ritual, you know, slaughtering, just eating the meat, and with the meat, you're eating the blood. So then we're talking about ki adam hu anefesh. So he sort of splits the two. The Rambam mentions this whole idea of eating the blood is about an idolatrous practice that we're condemning. The Ramban's mentioning the simple reading of the text is that, no, the blood is offered to God, it's not offered to man. And then he says, you are what you eat. And the Bravanel says, maybe there's a difference between, you know, the ritualistic type of, you know, slaughtering, which is idolatrous, versus non-ritualistic, which is kiyadam hu anefesh. Okay, and then to find we cannot finish talking about the prohibition of blood and talking about eating meat without talking about Rav Kook's position, and this is Rav Kook, where he says the consciousness of shame is the beginning of moral improvement. Cover the blood. Why do we do kisur adam? We cover the blood.
Hide. Yeah, we do that on chayes, not on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why.
An animal.
Right, we only do it for chayas and not for behema. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know why he says that. He says, cover the blood, hide your... It could be still symbolic a little bit, so we're not doing everything. But he says, hide your shame. These actions will bear fruit and ultimately educate mankind. It's a symbol. The mute protest will, when the time is ripe, be transformed into a mighty shout and succeed in its aim. The very nature of the principles of ritual slaughter, with their specific rules and regulations designed to reduce pain, create the atmosphere that you are not dealing with a helpless, unprotected object, with an inanimate automat, but with a living soul. And, you know, the Rambam, the Rav Kook, you know, feels that it's not ideal. This whole idea of eating meat is not ideal. And so certainly he would say, you know, he would say more that the idea of perhaps eating the blood, that is really a thing of cruelty. You know, we want to try to avoid that, and we try to, you know, like there's no real purpose to this. Let's see if I have it right. So he thinks that the I have my notes here, that return to the ideal situation, the permission to eat meat in the Torah is merely a temporary dispensation accorded to mankind, which has not yet reached the stage of overcoming its murderous instincts. That man must slowly be trained to show mercy to his own kind and ultimately to the rest of the animal creation. The prohibition is aimed at inculcating consideration for the status of every living being. So even the prohibition, all these rules of not eating blood and other things are to tell you that this is really a b'di'ev and it's not really a l'chatchila, an idealistic situation. So again, just to summarize the prohibition, the simple reading of the text, it seems that the blood serves the chaper al nafsho seichem, and that's where the Ramban says that you can have, that once we're allowed to have meat, we're allowed to have the skin, right? But the blood, that's the nefesh, that only goes to God. The Rambam says, no, it's all about an idolatrous practice. The Bravanel kind of hedges his bets. And Rav Kook basically says, we have all these different rules, really, to demonstrate compassion for the living being, because this is really a b'di'evit, it's not an ideal situation. And he was not a big fan, you know, in this whole idea of eating meat to begin with. It's has to do with our murderous, our murderous tendencies. And
what will you do with karbanos?
Yeah, so there are those who argue, the Rav Kook would say, maybe there'll be no karbanos, but that's, he has like one line about this, and everyone jumps on it, but in reality, he has other lines that says there will be karbanos. Okay, so he's going to have to say that other than that, you know, we wouldn't eat meat. Now, there's also a difference, Evan, between, you know, bringing karbanos, giving it to God, versus, you know, eating meat for pleasure. So he might make a distinction between, you know, karbanos and eating meat for pleasure. But again, right, that, in other words, if you look at
what? L'chatas is eaten by the Kohanim part of it.
No, I understand. So that, again, they're eating as an emissary, and they're eating as emissaries of God, and the Shlom is eaten by...
It was only prohibiting meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That was okay to eat.
Right, you know, it's been sanctified already, but anything that's associated with a mitzvah, you'd be allowed to eat, but anything just for pleasure, you would not be allowed to eat. I'm saying, Evan, you're asking about the chatas, asking about the shlamim that even non-Kohanim can eat. But I think the point is that it's interesting that, you know, the Ramban was saying, because of the schus, you know, that we gave the animals the schus because of us, the animals were allowed to live post the flood. So they gave something to us. They gave up their right not to be eaten by us, in a sense. Whereas, according to Rav Kook, he would say no, that we are left.